Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Narada, best of the transcendentalists, the forms of the body cannot take place as long as these created parts, namely the elements, senses, mind, and modes of nature, are not assembled. Purport. The different types of bodily construction of the living entities are exactly like different types of motor cars manufactured by assembling the allied motor parts. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sita Rama Lakshmana Hanuman ki jai, Gonitai Bhagwan ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When the car is ready, the driver sits in the car and moves it as he desires. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The living entity is as if seated on the machine of the body, and the car of the body is moving by the control of material nature, just as the railway trains are moving under the direction of the controller. The living entities, however, are not the bodies. They are separate from the cars of the body. But the less intelligent material scientists cannot understand the process of assembling the parts of the body, namely the senses, the mind, and the qualities of the material modes. Every living entity is a spiritual spark, part and parcel of the Supreme Being, and by the kindness of the Lord, for the Father is kind to his sons. The individual living entities, living beings, are given a little freedom to act according to their will, to lord it over the material nature, just as a father gives some playthings to the crying child to satisfy him. The whole material creation is made possible by the will of the Lord to allow the bewildered living entities to lord it over things as they desire. Although under the control of the agent of the Lord, the living entities are exactly like small children playing the material field under the control of the maidservant of the Lord, nature. They accept the Maya, or the maidservant, as all in all, and thus wrongly conceive the supreme truth to be feminine, goddess Durga, etc. The foolish childlike materialist cannot reach beyond the conception of the maidservant, material nature, but the intelligent grown-up sons of the Lord know well that all the acts of material nature are controlled by the Lord. Just as a maidservant is under the control of the master, the father of the undeveloped children. The parts of the body, such as the senses, are the creation of the Mahatattva. And when they are assembled by the will of the Lord, the material body comes into existence, and the living entity is allowed to use it for further activities. This is explained as follows. The translation, once again, if you kindly repeat. O Narada, best of the transcendentalists, the forms of the body cannot take place as long as these created parts, namely the elements, senses, mind and modes of nature, are not assembled. Om Gyanati Midandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastari Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschastahari Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatrupascha kripasindubhayavacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anandakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. I seek the blessings of all the assembled and unassembled Vaishnava devotees of the Lord so that I can say something of significance. The blessings and welcome Prabhuji. He's looking. That's it. The prema I forget, but Sakiras Prabhu, thank you for appearing and gracing us. And I also welcome the good doctor, Hasmukh Bhai Makhanji. The good doctor is the maternal uncle of Haripriya. So he's our Mamaji. He can only stay with us till 8 o'clock. So thank you for that. I'm comfortable as it is, but anyway. Thank you, Srinivas Prabhu. Okay, hopefully they won't slip. But thank you. But welcome, welcome to everyone. This indeed is, as always, an interesting part of the Bhagavatam. And really towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada's mentioning the Mahatattva. Prabhupada in the purport states the parts of the body, such as the senses of the parts, are the creation of the Mahatattva. And the Mahatattva is, in essence, the body of the Lord. Underneath is the false ego. This is all in the material realm, as it were. The false ego, and underneath the false ego are the three modes of material nature. And these are naturally goodness, passion, and ignorance. And the mind is under the mode of goodness. And the intelligence is under the mode of passion. I've always wondered as to why. Because intelligence is higher than the mind, and yet it's under the mode of passion. The mind is under the mode of goodness. I remember one time we were in India. I think it was January 97, and we were in Mayapur and at Harihar, the Harihar temple there. And I was asking Jayadvaita Maharaj that, how come this is the case? This same question. And he said to me, I can't answer. I'd have to look at the verses. Of course, I'd never really got an answer, but I'd always kind of speculate. You know, sometimes you speculate with the philosophy, don't you? But anyway, the goodness, the mode of goodness, the mind is under that. Under the passion, the mode of passion, you've got the knowledge acquiring senses, you've got the working senses, and you have the intelligence. These three. The knowledge acquiring senses are your ears, your skin, eyes, tongue, and nose. These are all listed there. The working senses are your hands, legs, the genitals, and voice and rectum. And then, of course, there's the intelligence. Under the mode of ignorance are the gross elements. This is all very exciting, isn't it? The gross elements and the sense objects. And this is the ether, the touch, the air, the form, fire, flavor, water, aroma, and earth. So the whole thing is very much scientifically based. So the five gross elements are the earth, the water, the fire, air, and ether. And then there's the five sense objects, the smell, the taste, the form, touch, and sound. And then in addition, you have the five working, acquiring, the knowledge acquiring senses, and the five working senses. So then you've got the three subtle elements, your mind, intelligence, false ego. And then, of course, finally, on top of it all, you have the Mahatattva. So hence in total, that brings it to the famous 24 elements, which we always read about in the Gita. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the hierarchy of the bodily components is given in the third chapter of the 42nd verse. It's a very famous verse, the Indriyani Parayami Ahur. And in the translation, Prabhupada's mentioning, the working senses are superior to dull matter. The mind is higher than the senses. The intelligence is still higher than the mind. And the soul is even higher than the intelligence. And in the purport of that verse, of the 42nd, Prabhupada states, one has to seek out the constitutional position. With intelligence, one has to seek out the constitutional position of the soul and then engage the mind always in Krishna consciousness. That solves the whole problem. So this whole thing is a problem, and that solves it. And so these two lines, in one sense, sums it all up. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of this 32nd verse, also quotes the very famous verse from the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 61st verse, the famous Ishwaraha Sarvabhutanam. You know, most of us would know that one. And the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. This is a powerful statement. And is directing the wanderings of all the living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. And the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto tells us the characteristics of that supreme entity situated within the heart. The Paramatma is 8 inches in height. The description is given of, you know, two fingers and, well, the thumb and the finger extended approximately 8 inches high. And he is situated naturally in the region of the heart next to us. So hence, we're never alone. We're always looking towards the Paramatma. Of course, the example of the two birds on the tree being the body, and us being the one of the birds, the soul, and we're really enjoying the fruits of the body, picking the fruits of the tree, as it were. I like cherries, so hopefully it's kind of a cherry tree, and which I'm trying to enjoy with the senses and certainly with the mind, for my mind is never in control and it's always engaging in serving the senses. For I am the servant of the senses. Indriya Niseva. That's what I'm in. And of course, once I do turn, which I have no idea when that would be, not really conscious of the Paramatma at all, when I do turn, then I'll be very much happy. I'm seeking for that happiness. Whether I'll receive it or not, it may take many, many lifetimes. It may never occur, for my case in particular. It may never happen. But I pray to all the assembled devotees here and the unassembled that please do pray for me, for then I can turn to the Paramatma. So Prabhu is in essence, the Mahatattva is the aggregate of all the ingredients for the material creation, including the conditioned souls. It's the germinating. This is interesting. It's the germinating place for all the varieties of creation, this Mahatattva, starting with the false ego. It's the material nature's primal state, the shadow of the pure spiritual consciousness. And the junction, the Mahatattva is the junction between pure spiritual existence and the material existence. Interesting. And then as for this false ego, this false ego is the identity. I love the false ego because it's my identity. Ahankar. This is the binding force. This is the true binding force of material existence. And in my garden, because the body is the garden, there are many extra plants. The trunk of that plant is the false ego. And I'm waiting for when that would become true ego. Just ego, not the false. So the false ego is truly and truly causes one to identify with this body and mind, and to think oneself a product of matter, and to see oneself as the controller and enjoyer. Certainly, I fully see myself as the controller. I control everything beyond this temple, the capital, the country, the continent, the globe, and I'd like to control the universe and beyond. This is what I'd like to do. Of course, it's a puny mind, size of less than a peanut. So the mind is the basic functions. The basic functions are sankalpa, accepting. The mind accepts and somewhat rejects, and vikalpa. Sankalpa, vikalpa, accepts and rejects. That's the function of this mind, which are manifestations of the material attachment. Naturally, Prabhu's, the storehouse of all knowledge is the mind, experiences all perceptions, and hence it's under the mode of goodness. And simultaneously, just like it's explained, the classic example, just like a lawyer or a barrister in the UK, because Prabhupada mentions advocate because, you know, American and India is advocate, but we're in the UK, so it's barristers and solicitors. Just like the lawyer, the barrister pleading the case of the senses and the courtroom within the judge, and the judge being the intelligence, and that's how it works in essence. And of course, you've got the buddhi. Now, I won't go through everything there, but just I'll finish with the buddhi. The buddhi is the mind, is the intelligence, and it's the power to discriminate, the discrimination and making distinctions. This is the intelligence, the ability to utilize and synthesize with knowledge, experience into usable forms and reach conclusions for actions. This is the function of the intelligence. It's the power to understand the nature and an object. It figures out, the intelligence figures out, plans and discriminates what is to be done and what is not to be done. And if the mind listens to the intelligence, then we're in a happy state. If the mind doesn't, then it's wild. It's a loose cannon. So this is all based on time, place, and naturally circumstances. And we all know, Prabhus, we all know that it's all due to the mind that we experience various types of feelings, emotions, sensations, and sentiment. Because it's all sentimentality, isn't it? It's all sentiment. And even on the transcendental plane, on the spiritual plane, naturally there are emotions. Reminds me of when Srimati Radharani becomes angry. And it happens because who she angry with naturally has to be Krishna. Because the Lord always teases her and upsets her. And that anger is known as abhiman. Now in Gujarati, the word abhiman is pride. But in Sanskrit, abhiman is referred to as transcendental anger. And one time, on one occasion, just to make sure that everyone's kind of paying attention, a beautiful pastime is of when Srimati Radharani is indeed transcendentally angry and angered by the Lord, and she just won't have anything to do with him. She doesn't want to see him. The doors are shut. She remains in her chambers and just doesn't want to come out. The Lord, back at his place, is just pacing up and down the veranda, constantly. He's worried. This time he's thinking, how am I going to win her back? It's been a long time, several days, if not longer, and she wants nothing to do with me. What to do? I'm helpless. So he's just walking up and down, pacing up and down. And one of his sister-in-laws, the Lord has many babis, many sister-in-laws, and she comes along. Her name is Kundalata. Kundalata is one of the many sister-in-laws of the Lord. And she notices that he's perturbed, you know, he's somewhat in anxiety. And she says, what's the problem? Incidentally, Kundalata is a close friend of a Sakhi of Srimati Radharani. They're very close. And so the Lord says, look, you know, Babiji, this is what the problem I've got. And she just doesn't want anything to do with me. What am I going to do? I can't live like this. So then eventually Kundalata mentions, well, how desperate are you to see her? Are you desperate enough? And he says, yeah, I'm really desperate. I'm willing to do absolutely anything. So she said, well, anything? Yeah, anything. Because, you know, without her, life doesn't exist for me. Can't you see I'm in so much stress and anxiety? And she's thinking, wow, Krishna's in distress. So she says, well, look, I have a plan, but you have to follow it through. It may succeed, it may not. But if you're willing to do anything, then this is my plan. My plan is for you to see her. We have to get you inside her chambers, where all the gopis are, the eight principal gopis, because they're the intimate associates of Srimati Radharani, that they're all together, and that's where you need to be. So you have to convert yourself, transform yourself into a gopi. Let's dress you up into a lady. And so we have to also change your name and identity. I know that you're Shyam. Shyam means dark. None of the gopis are Shyam. You'll be unique. None of the eight principal gopis are as dark as you. You'll be unique. So she dresses him up. She dresses him up, and Krishna becomes a beautiful gopi. And she says, we have to give you an identity because, you know, when Srimati Radharani sees you and when Lalita is next to her, Lalita is, you know, she's very, very sharp. She's very intelligent, and she'll suss you out. She will suss you out immediately because that's what she does. So you need an identity. Your name should be Kalavali. And Kalavali is one who naturally sings very nicely. And then Krishna says, well, okay, yeah, I can sing. And so then, you know, she says, well, Krishna asks that, you know, okay, well, they're going to ask me, Radharani's going to ask me, where did I learn my singing? Where am I from? Who's my guru? So we're going to have to come up with all this. So what should I be saying? So Kundalata, she says, Well, what you can say is that, look, Brihaspati, because if you want to learn singing in the universe, the guru is Brihaspati. He's the guru of the demigods, and I'm sure Sakiraj Prema Prabhu may have received some lessons from him, for Prabhuji is a wonderful singer. And I still remember the very initial time in the 80s when you were singing, and you haven't changed a bit in your tune, and your voice is so very beautiful, Sakya Prabhu. So anyway, that there's humility. But anyway, Krishna says, okay, the guru is Brihaspati. But you know, we're on the earthly plane. Brihaspati is in the celestial realms. Yes, but what you can say is that he came here in Vraj, he took you away for a few minutes, and then brought you back, and he taught you everything. And of course, you could say that those few minutes he took you away in the celestial realms was a year. So you came back in a year. So Krishna says, okay, all right. So then she's going to ask me, you know, the entire science of singing, because the epitome and the personification of raga, of singing, is Srimati Radharani. You can't get anyone better than that. So she Kundalata had to go everything through with him. Of course, the Lord knows everything. Shishrada Goklananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gonitai Bhagwan ki jai, Jagat Guru Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. So of course, you know, everything is set. The plan is rolling. He is looking exceptionally charming. And they both go. They get to the house of Jyotila. And of course, they need an excuse to get in. Because Jyotila is, she's the mother. She's the profound mother. She controls absolutely everything. And so Jyotila opens the door, as it were, and she then questions. And obviously she knows Kundalata very well, because Kundalata is a personality who visits Srimati Radharani on a regular basis. And then Kundalata had to introduce that this is Kalavali, and she is the distant cousin of Radharani. Her mother and Radharani's mother are related. And she's visiting on a temporary basis. And what has happened is that in the past, the two sisters had a disagreement. Oh, Jyotila says, the two had disagreement? No, don't. Do come in. Because now, naturally, she wants any opportunity to reprimand Radharani, as it were, Jyotila would do. She's the typical mother-in-law. Not the monster-in-law, but somewhat the mother-in-law. That's her, you know, mood. And in Chaitanya Leela, you know, she's none other than Ramchandra Puri, you know, who's the sannyasi. But anyway, so then both of them come in, and soon as the gopis and Radharani take darshan of this Kalavali, they're in giggles, actually. They're in stitches. They're thinking, who is this incredible, unique personality? She seems to be a gopi, but she's sham. How can this be? A sham gopi, that's unique. So anyway, Kundalata, you know, gives a beautiful introduction. And then Kundalata says that, I want to offer this Kalavali to Radharani. Let's convert her into a necklace, and she can be offered to Srimati Radharani in that manner. So when, of course, Krishna hears this, he's thinking, that's a very good idea. Then I can be on the chest of Srimati Radharani. You know, he was delighted. He was over the moon. What a brilliant thing to say. And of course, Lalita comes in and whispers to Radharani, says, you do know, my dear Sakhi, who this is. I think this Kalavali is an imposter. I think it's none other than this Krishna of yours. Radharani was doubtful. She's thinking, yeah, I think you may be right. So then Radharani says, well, hang on, before, you know, you do convert her and she becomes a necklace and whatnot, I want to hear her sing. What's her background? And then she, obviously there's a whole interview, as it were. She's interrogated. Both of them are, you know, bombarded with questions. Who's the guru? You know, can you sing? And of course, when Kalavali sings, it's captivating, mesmerizing. It's so very moving. So they're all very much elated. And then when she stops singing, then naturally they come to their senses. And then Radharani says, and she summons Rupa Manjari, and she says that, you know, in my cupboard, in the other room, in my cupboard, if you open the cupboard, there's a nice blouse, which I want to give as a gift to this Kalavali, and we want to offer it. So can you go and fetch it? So she immediately goes and fetches it, Rupa Manjari, and she brings this beautiful, beautiful blouse, upper garment, and she brings it to Radharani. And Radharani says, okay, girls, disrobe her. We want to see how this blouse fits on her. And of course, they go all rush to Kalavali. Kundalata tries to protect the Lord. She says, hang on a minute. You know, don't disrobe her. You know, it's not appropriate. And Radharani says, hang on. We're all ladies here. There are no men here. So it's okay. It's appropriate etiquette. Girls, disrobe her. And so they literally go flying to where Kalavali is situated, where Krishna is. And then, you know, as they virtually get close and pull, you know, from Krishna's blouse, two mangoes fall on the floor. And as soon as these two mangoes fall on the floor, naturally you all know where they've been positioned. It's a hideous thing. It's hilarious. The gopis are in absolute stitches. The Lord's identity has been revealed. And the Lord, being so, is acting, he's so embarrassed. He hides behind, he's literally on the floor behind his sister-in-law. And she's saying, please protect me, Kundalata. And he literally goes behind her. Kundalata protects the Lord. That, okay, it's enough. And of course, you know, the cover is blown. The mission doesn't seem to be successful at all. Kundalata apologizes to Radharani. Of course, Radharani doesn't particularly take offense to Kundalata, but naturally she is not appeased. Her abhiman is still there, her transcendental anger, and she literally says to the both of them, be gone with you, vacate the premises. Krishna, literally like a little boy, holds on to the chero or the sari of Kundalata, and they both exit. They exit, and they and Jyotila, you know, she allows them out outside the house, as it were. Kundalata then says goodbye to Krishna. Says, I'm really sorry, you know, I did tell you that this mission may succeed or we may fail in this mission. I can't do anything more. She leaves. By that time, it's getting quite dark. Krishna is devastated. And he then begins to wail. He begins to cry. Of course, he's acting. He's wailing so much that it attracts the attention of the mother, Jyotila. Jyotila comes out, says, what's happened, my dear girl, what's happened? Because Krishna then, you know, sorts himself out and becomes this Kalavali once again. And Jyotila says, no, what's the problem? And Kalavali says, Mom, you know, she doesn't accept me. After all these years, a silly, childish disagreement, and she's still holding it. Oh, that's nonsense. Jyotila takes her by the hand, or takes him by the hand, takes
her inside the chambers again, and then addresses all the astasakis, and she says to the gopis that it's getting late. She looks at her watch, and I've only got 5-6 minutes. It's getting late. You all go to your homes. You know, you should be in your homes. Why are you still here? So they all leave. And then Jyotila makes the beautiful arrangement that says to Kalavali and Radharani that you both have, you know, you need to spend time together. You need to talk. You need to become friends again. Kalavali, it's late. You please remain here the entire night. Krishna is in ecstasy. And then she says, you have to embrace, make up. And he says, shake hands and embrace. And of course, initially, Radharani is reluctant to embrace because she knows the identity. She knows who this person is. It's none other than the Lord. So when they do naturally embrace, Radharani's abhiman breaks. And she is no longer transcendentally angry. Breaks, and they spend the entire night together with each other. The mother leaves naturally, and of course in the morning Krishna transforms himself, his flute is there. In the morning she comes in, mom comes in and finds the flute there. That's another pastime. And so Radharani's busted. Krishna's busted. Krishna's been there. So he's in trouble. Of course, he escapes through the window, never to be found. But Jyotila has the sabut. She has, you know, what is it called? The evidence. Evidence is there. Anyway, she makes a whole hullabaloo out of it. So this, in essence, is transcendental anger. And all these qualities, the material qualities, have been explained throughout these verses. And of course, to conclude, I've got 4 minutes. Lord Nityananda, being the topmost Avadhuta, manifests countless transcendental emotions. And hence, Srila Lochindas Thakur sings beautiful bhajans in glorification of our Lord Nityananda. But just to conclude, I'd love to go through this, but it will take about 8 minutes, which I don't seem to have. Lochindas Thakur has beautifully given us this unique bhajan. Nitai guna mani amar. Sakya Prabhu, these wonderful verses. Oh, it's only 5 verses, but it will take a bit of time. But in essence, Nityanandam aham naomi, sarvavadam karam param, harinama padam devam avaduta shiromani. Classic, beautiful verse. I bow down to the Supreme Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is the awarder of the highest joy of all, the presiding deity of the holy name, and the crest jewel of all Paramahamsa mendicants. So thank you all very much for listening. I'd like to thank the devotees, thank our good doctor Mamaji for remaining. Generally, he would leave by 7:30. He said to me he can be here for 8 o'clock, but it's almost 8:30, so thank you for remaining. Sakya Prabhu, thank you. If there are any questions, Sakya Prabhu can take them. Any comments and corrections, I'm still sitting here. we have 2 minutes, Prabhus, and then naturally the breakfast is there in the Haveli, all there. Thank you, Sakya Prabhu.
Prabhuji, thank you. Where is the story from?
Oh, this particular pastime is in the Srimati Radharani book, which our Pushottam, Bhakti Pushottam Maharaj compiled a few years back. And also, the references are given, our Shivaram Maharaj's book, Navavraj Mahima. It's there, which is a little bit elaborate. But yes,
And references, because, you know, Shivaram Maharaj has done this such a unique, unique way. He's done, you know, all the volumes. There are 9 volumes. And at the end of, you know, the chapters, the references are given. So he's you know, if any of you have picked those books up, they're absolute nectar. Absolute nectar. Of course, you know, I pray that, you know, my memory serves me well enough to remember these pastimes, because without that memory of ours in this silly mind. Anyway, sorry, but that's...
Okay, next time you tell the story, tell us where it's from
first.
Where it's
from, that's a good point.
Because I was asking 10, 20 times, where's the story? It was interfering with hearing.
Yes.
My mind was asking, where's the story from? Where's the story from? I was like, shut up, shut up. So tell us where the story is from first.
Good point.
Number one.
Thank you.
Number two, the super soul. You said you have no contact. So we all have contact constantly. And I was very fortunate when I was first initiated. My name was Paramatma Das.
Paramatma
Das. So I had to find out about Paramatma. So I studied a lot about Paramatma, because my name begins with an S. My English name is Stephen.
Stephen, that's right. I remember that.
And I couldn't figure out why I have a name Paramatma. So I had this research a lot about Paramatma. So 15:15 Bhagavad Gita, we all know, Sarvashacharaham, Riddhi, Sanavishtaha. And Mata, all the memory, all the knowledge, all the forgetfulness is directly from Paramatma. So if we forget our keys and we remember the keys, that is Paramatma. So Paramatma, for years I used to think, oh, Paramatma, he'll give me transcendental knowledge only. No. He has given us constant knowledge. If we have suddenly have a eureka moment, wow, I've just thought of a great... That's the Paramatma. All the knowledge, all the genius, all the memories, all the remembrances, even the forgetfulness is directly the Paramatma. So we are constantly...
contact.
But we, due to false ego, we are thinking, I am remembering, or I've forgotten, I have created this. This is the false ego. So I just wanted to help you with that point.
Thank you very much. So Prabhuji, are you actually saying that I have the Paramatma?
You are not the Paramatma directly. Samane Vikshe Purusha.
No, there is Paramatma within me.
Even
me?
Even. Hare Krishna.
That's kind of reassuring. Thank you so much.
I just started this recently. So my question is, I've been going through kind of a struggle between my body, I would say, the false ego, and the soul, right? So I'd like to ask you, what is it, some habits that we can have that would kill the ego? That ego that we have, and what would be some other habits that we have that would kind of build it? Things that we would do that would build that ego.
Yeah, absolutely. The best habit, the topmost habit in the day and age which we live in is Harir Nama, Eva Kevalam. There's no other habit, no other habit, no other habit but that. The chanting of the holy name, for that will then, by so doing and perfecting, I was reading the verses. Prabhupada mentions that we should attempt to chant in a pure state of mind, naturally, and avoid the 10 offenses. By so doing, we will develop our true identity, true ego. So that's the best habit. Of course, there are other habits, but I'm sure Sakya Prabhu would agree, because he's a profound chanter.
Yeah. Now listen. Now hear this. Shuno, shuno, shuno. Shuno, shuno, shuno. Shun means hear. Shrinum. Tat shrinum. In Sanskrit, tat shrinum. Tat Shrinum.
Jai.
Shrinum.
Shrinum.
How you will learn. Prabhuji, learn shlokas, learn some very important verses, go to in front of Krishna, learn verses of Muchakunda, King Muchakunda, various Prahlad, go in front of Krishna, in the Bhagavatam, you know, Google it, and you can go in front of Krishna and recite verses to Krishna directly, and Krishna will help you personally. Okay?
Thank you so much, Sakya Prabhu. Just the Prabhuji behind you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for letting me speak, Prabhu. If I can make a suggestion here for this new devotee, welcome, Hare Krishna. There's a meditation called Panchakosha meditation, which is allows you to take the koshas, the sheaths of your outer, and you go more and more inside until you find the Atma, which is in the center. So you can say, this is not me, the mind is not me, what is me, what is me? And you come slowly inward, and then you find your Atma in the center.
Thank you so very much. In a nutshell, make it easy, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's our philosophy. Hari Nama. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Purana Ki Jai. Thank you so much.